everybody, welcome to New World Pictures Podcast, and we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures, and even the movies that New World nearly put out. I'm Ryan, with me as always is Mark.
I'm nearly putting out right now.
And Erica.
That's amazing.
I mean, all of us are, really, in one way or another. I mean, if you think about it. Okay, Erica's good.
I'm great. I'm just here for Mark, really. I'm just here for Mark.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And we are in the midst of Mark's miserable, marvelous May 4 ever, where we're discussing the Marvel-related output that New World Pictures put out, because New World Pictures owned Marvel in the late 80s for a few years, and Mark does not like superhero content, so every year we like to dedicate a month to just make Mark watch whatever New World released, or didn't release in this case. But before we get into it, we have brought back a special guest, one who, when he heard our calls to guest on episodes covering Lady Frankenstein, The Big Bust Out, and Firecracker, did he let it go to voicemail? No. He answered those calls.
Thank God.
And he is the co-host of the Get Me Another podcast, Chris Iannacone. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. I got a great idea. Yeah. After we record this episode, do you maybe want to hit the donkey bar?
Who doesn't want to?
Absolutely.
Nice.
I was hoping that we could go to the Irish coffee bar, but I mean, that's my proclivity. I love a good milky alcoholic coffee. That's the way I like it.
Yeah. In Angel City, the famous home of Irish coffee in Angel City.
I don't know. Do you guys want to just come over to my apartment and I'll just cook up whatever?
Whatever you got. Whatever you got in your little half fridge.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you have in a hotel.
Yeah. I'll just cook like a drunk person. I'll just cook whatever's in there.
The most disturbing thing about that scene is the fact that in his pantry, he's got two giant jars of pickles and a bottle of cornstarch. What are you doing with that?
What isn't he doing with that? There's so much to make. He's really, he's an Iron Chef. It's clear.
Get him a deep fryer and you've got a show.
Oh my God, he might open his own restaurant after this. Of course, we're talking about a movie that New World did not put out. In fact, this might be one the biggest stretch in nearly New World history. Do we dip into the 2000s at some point? We may. Corman sold the company in 1983.
Dip our toe into that pie. Just dip our toes right into that 2000s pie.
We got our feet in a lot of pies, guys. Always do. We always do.
This one's just a toe, though, but it's still.
We got a toe. We got a toe in this pie. We have our toes in one big pie called 1995's Black Scorpion. And so to get into it, we normally, in our regular episodes, we will reveal a Letterboxd synopsis. But in our nearly new worlds, I'm reminding my co-host, we make up our own Letterboxd synopsis. You guys,
you sure?
You always
forget
that.
If you say so, Ryan.
You guys forget that, but it's true.
I don't know. Let me just take off this gas mask and then anything goes,
Wait,
I guess.
How come I don't have a gas mask? I don't have one. Where do I get the gas mask? How do I get one?
You gotta go down to where they sell the gas, or just leave town, because they give you, he gives 24 hours on his threat, so you could just go.
I could just leave. Though, Angel City is vast, as we all know. It would take me a long time to get out of Angel City.
Yeah.
So, Mark, what is your made-up Letterboxd synopsis for 1995's Black Scorpion?
In the future, we still drive cars from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which is disappointing. But... we can smoke indoors again.
Hooray!
And if you recall, I also made that same comment about episode 33, Star Crystal. I mean, not the cars part, but the smoking indoors.
No, but the smoking indoors. Wow. Yeah. Deep cut.
So I'm excited. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about the future.
Yeah. Very deep callback from you, Mark. Yes, Erica, what is your made-up letterbox synopsis for Black Scorpion?
Scorpions aren't just insects anymore. When a daughter of a police person tries to live up to her dad's expectations, she finds that nothing fights crime harder than some hot lingerie and sixth grade science.
It's true.
Not wrong. Not wrong at all. Yeah, I mean, if that was in Letterboxd, I would say, yep, that's true. Yeah. All of that's true.
Just lick that battery and put it up against a wire. Ba-bam! Electricity that you can shoot from your button.
It's your feet, right? Because she uses... Is that what she uses to jump out? She uses it once. She uses it one time. She uses it one time.
Twice. She does one it twice. Time. Twice. No, you're right. She jumps once, but she also shoots the lasers from a taser across an alleyway.
Yeah. My Man, wife was like, that's how tasers work.
it's true. And she uses a ring like one time.
Yeah. Irresponsibly.
To knock out the guy she's trying to make love to. Not good. But it's definitely a Roger Corman superhero story. That's what we're... If you haven't seen Black Scorpion, this is what you're learning. Chris, let's go to you. What's your made-up letterbox synopsis?
Well, I'm just going to say that my made-up letterbox synopsis sounds a lot like my what is this movie about? It's just very... It's a very similar vibe.
Yeah, they're very different. Those are two very different kinds of things.
Black Scorpion is a movie about a city where a shadow has fallen, darkening the lives of all who live there. And that shadow is professional incompetence. Like, literally every character in this movie, save one, is absolutely terrible at whatever job they hold. From police officers to sex workers, the people of this metropolis are totally incompetent at their chosen vocations and are in desperate need of career changes. This is a city crying out for a savior. Is that savior Black Scorpion? No. That savior is the University of Phoenix.
Yeah. Not a sponsor yet, but I mean, I think after this episode,
we'll be after tonight.
Yeah. Mine is a former car thief finds redemption by building a magical car for a cop that is no longer a cop.
Yeah.
Accurate.
I know we're not doing things we loved, but I love that car. Oh my God.
I mean, it's a magical car. It can do everything. It can do things like completely dress the driver in another outfit.
Yeah.
And do their makeup.
I can't even fucking take my jacket off while driving a car. How did she put on a leotard? How?
Yeah. It's the car. The car does it. The car does
it. I'm sitting in my car and I have my wallet in my pocket, I have to get out of the car to get at it. It's just like I'll never feel good sitting in that. I have to get start all over again. Oh,
and what
I could
the
use the Scorpion Mobile
of taking your side mirrors and just they move all the way up to the top of the what does that do? Is that
to
safe?
Be completely useless as far as side mirrors go.
Right? Can she even see? Does she have to like look out the window up to see? I don't know what it does. It's
also besides the fact that that's it's completely illegal for
crime, Mark? Yes, I agree.
The kit that they put on the car is too long for the wheelbase, and they try so hard to not get a profile shot of the car. But at when you have some angles, you can see that the rims of the car are about a foot and a half from where the wheels are to the sides. So this thing would be horribly off balance, as well as you're going to just drive into anything that's close to the side of your car.
I had the same thought. Exact same thought.
Yeah. Touché. We were all thinking it. I mean, to be honest, we were all thinking it.
I didn't notice that. I didn't think about that. I just thought, my God, the storage he added. I have nowhere in my car to keep my purse. And he and he found an entire place to hide an outfit.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Mask included.
That's true.
Yeah. I, what I loved about that, and so I couldn't even concentrate on the car and what it looked like on the road, was when he, when it
happens.
Because
you were looking for the dongle. We know.
I was looking for my dongle, quite frankly. I was just, that's, this is a sexy superhero.
You should.
Superhero.
It is that.
And no, and so when they're in the car and the car transforms into the Black Scorpion mobile, and it transforms from one car to another, he goes like, my guys are pretty good. They might even be smarter than me. And I'm like, they've taken a car that somehow is magically transformed into another car. I think you could say your guys are better than you are, because they've done something that is fucking impossible. But
all I could really think about, all jokes aside about the storage that was top of mind for a minute, was if they made any merch for this, that there would be a Hot Wheels that was orange, and when you dipped it into water, it would turn into
the Black Scorpion mobile.
Yeah. And as it dried, it would turn back.
You should sell that in your in the online store.
Oh my God. Yes. Audio trademark. Yes. I've got an audio trademark.
Audio trademark. I was here for audio trademark, for sure.
Audio trademarks
We do need to do that. That's going to take just a little work, but
for the merch store, I was hoping that they would have like a burgundy power suit that would turn into a black leotard and bustier if you dipped it in water. So, I mean, I think we're on the same page, but I think there's a lot we can do with this.
Mm-hmm. Or just a t-shirt that when I sweat through it, it turns into that, but it's still just an oversized t-shirt.
That was called hypercolor.
Oh, I remember. I had hypercolor.
But, like, my underboob sweat just turns into, like, a bustier on the t-shirt. So I'm just like, hey, guys, looking pretty good.
This is something we probably could make, and I'm just going to go a little deeper cut. I'm just going to make a plastic coat that you can see through and you can wear.
Yes, please.
Because it's a perfect coat. When you're out on those Angel City streets,
yeah. When you're doing daytime hooking,
yeah.
I know. We're not at favorite scenes, but when she goes into the police station and takes off her transparent plastic coat and hangs it on the coat rack
on the hanger,
I lost it.
I was like,
amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
You don't want to get it wrinkled. You don't want wrinkles in your plastic coat.
And also, you're going to want it later. You're going to want to put it on later.
Yeah. And also, you're going to want to air it out because you've been walking around Angel City
sweated all
in a plastic
over that.
Coat.
Here is the actual letterbox synopsis.
Oh, my.
Darcy is a cop who is also a superhero named Black Scorpion.
Wow, just put it all out there. Like, damn, okay. Letterbox. Uh-huh. Okay, well, no need to watch it then. Jeez.
It doesn't happen for like 20 to 30 minutes, but all right, like, you know it already. All right, they turns in, who's also a superhero named Black Scorpion, at night, who kicks ass and beats evildoers to a pulp. She soon catches wind. Oh, boy.
More ways than one.
What? Yep. Catches wind of an asthmatic mad scientist. Catches some wind. But yes, otherwise, a terrible phrase. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing rumors. A mad scientist who plans
As that person was typing that, they were going...
Yeah, they thought they really had it.
They thought they really had the giggles.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, did my grandma write this review after she watched it? Or I don't know, maybe. Hi, Grandma. Miss you.
who plans on tainting the city's air supply with a toxin.
Oh, taint. Oh, mm-hmm. I get it. Taint.
Yeah. Air supply, also, we're all thinking of as
air supply for sure. Yeah.
Sure. That's where my mind went first.
Only Darcy in her superhero garb can stop him with the assistance of a petty thief named Argyle.
He's more than petty. He's an exceptional thief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He does help her, but he kind of like just gets her the car and lets her kind of do the
rest. That's good enough. You know?
Yeah. Which is a huge thing. The car is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Magic.
Otherwise, she's driving her own car. Her own personal automobile as a superhero. And I feel like that's a dead giveaway. That, the Black Scorpion must be Darcy Walker. Because that's Darcy Walker's car. I just saw her license plate.
I know it's
D. Walker. I know we're not at final questions.
Oh, yep.
I know we're not at final questions. But I feel comfortable revealing that my three co-hosts here are married.
Yes,
that's true.
And you don't have to answer this because it's personal, but if you close your eyes, you can picture what your wife looks like nude, right? Like, is this dude, is he body blind?
Is he
body blind?
This guy, yeah. No, it's...
He's like, sure, certainly wasn't Darcy.
When she's on top of me.
Come on, man. Speaking those titties in don't the look same vaguely voice. Familiar. Speaking... Vaguely.
And with the same voice and the same cadence,
right?
As Darcy, who is also—I
mean, I'll just say I recognized him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If my wife put on that mask, I wouldn't be like, "Who's this? Who's here?" Teresa, why do you have that fucking mask on?
Yeah,
that would be my first question.
What's up with the mask? Yeah,
yeah. I'd have to wear my glasses over it, so it'd probably be a dead giveaway for Ryan. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know who she... I call the cops so many times.
There's a nearsighted superhero in my home. I don't know. Oh, she's... Sorry, officer. She's nearsighted in one eye and farsighted in the other. I don't know. I'm scared. She's trying to sex me. Please help.
And if it's not me, it's our kids. You know what I mean? They'll do the same thing. They don't get it. They don't recognize her without those glasses.
Well, there you go.
Ooh, thanks for ending that without those glasses. Woo! Was nervous where you were.
Yeah,
headed there. Wasn't sure.
Could they recognize you? Do they think of you without your clothes on? Do they know? Do they know what you look like? This movie, of course, is based on an idea that I guess Corman devised. He co-created, I guess. He created it with writer Craig Nevius, who also wrote Corman's The Fantastic Four.
Ooh.
So he goes from Fantastic Four to this, and then he also writes the next Black Scorpion, etc. This is directed by Jonathan Winfrey, who had started with Corman years earlier as a set painter on The Drifter. Another one of our nearly new
another
roles.
One that you ooh, The Drifter would be a great double feature with this.
What is it? Breathtaker? What is the kid? What's the bad guy's
Breathalyzer.
Name? Breathalyzer.
It's Breathtaker, but I kept thinking he was Breathalyzer. I kept getting that confused.
I'm going with Breathalyzer.
Ooh, Breathtaker. I believe you can get me through the night.
His lair was it not the Kingpins from Trial of the Incredible Hulk? Was that not the exact same set?
Yes, totally.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, holy shit. I was like, IMDb trivia, please finally have something of value. I was trying to like find out. I don't know, but boy, it looked the exact same. But back to our director, Jonathan Winfrey, he worked on The Drifter, he then became an assistant director, and then he made his directorial debut with 1992's Crisis in the Kremlin for Corman.
Oh, I'm glad everything worked out there.
Yeah. which apparently is a video game, or was a video game. I don't know if the two just share a title, or if that was an adaptation. I don't know. But
Oh my god.
Yeah, I guess we'll get there eventually, right? Since 1992 is a lot closer than 95 in terms of nearly new world.
A video game from the makers of Beer Hall Push.
But this is an origin story with Black Scorpion, and you know, she's a little girl whose father is a police lieutenant or police person. Yep. As some police people will explain it.
Hi, Ryan. It's Janet from HR here. Yeah, gonna really appreciate it if you just say police person. Thank you so much. And Ryan, great news. I know you've been waiting. We've got the OP Center dongles. That is exciting.
That is exciting.
Don't worry. I'll leave one on your desk. Because remember, we're back in office. Don't forget, Ryan, we need you in office at your desk. So you can pick up your dongle there. Thanks so much.
Oh my god, if we actually were able to sell OP Center dongles, that would be something.
Oops, Ryan, we're not supposed to sell company merch on. That's a gift to you, Ryan. That's not for resale.
Okay,
thank
that's
you.
Fair.
That's a gift to you. Thank you. You know what? Why don't you just? Do you have some time later? Let's connect later. Do you have a couple minutes? Thank you so much, Ryan. I'll put some time on your calendar. I'll see you then. Can't wait. Slack Scorpion. What a fun movie. Saw that in your browser history. We'll talk. Thank you so much.
Walker's a police person and all around terrible dad.
He's the worst person.
Terrible dad and a terrible police person.
He's a bad dude in general. He sucks.
Yeah. He's really bad at all things in life. He lets his little girl listen to the police scanner all night long.
Yep, sure.
And has,
as you do,
literally no idea how to read a story, which is,
well,
astounding.
It's I mean, it's the frog and the scorpion. It's a chestnut. I mean, we'll say that. But what I love is that he's ahead of the curve, because every movie and TV show in like the 21st century will reference the frog and the scorpion. This was ahead of its time. This was ahead of its time.
And this stars or rather the police person dad is played by Rick Rossovich, who had a few moments of like, is he going to be huge? Like, he was in Top Gun.
86, 87. He was in Roxanne.
He was in The Terminator, but like, I don't know if anyone's running away going, boy, that Rick Rossovich sure was good in The Terminator.
I'm going to bust you up.
Then Navy SEALs.
Oh, yeah.
He was also in. And but he, I think, was also doing this because he had already starred in another one of Jonathan Winfrey's movies, his movie before this one, also for Roger Corman, New Crime City.
Is that border on Angel City? Are they neighboring cities?
Yeah, they're sister cities.
I think it's New Crime City. I believe it's New Crime City, Los Angeles 2020, which is essentially Corman ripping off Escape from New York, already a nearly new world because it was shot in the lumberyard. So is New Crime City?
Is it anywhere part of the New Jack City universe?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
What a disappointment.
Certainly they had that in mind when they thought of the title, but he is a bad dad, and he instantly shoots a cop, he shoots a doctor at a hospital that the doctor is played by Casey Simasco.
Yes.
I don't know, Ryan. I'm sorry to interrupt. I know this is probably for the Samantha cast, but like, is he a bad dad just because he shot a cop and told him?
No, he's a bad dad because he's a bad dad. He's a bad cop because he shot a doctor.
Oh, got it. Oh, thank you. Cool.
Thank you.
That's going to streamline the Samantha cast.
We're watching it, and my wife goes, did he mean to shoot that guy?
He did. He did that on purpose.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
He did.
He shot him so that the other guy behind him would let go of him, and so he could have an open shot to that guy.
Well, I guess it all worked out great. It's a terrific point.
All of this could have been avoided if the two suspects he brought to the hospital had maybe been handcuffed. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
As you would with suspects. But he brings them along like they're just...
Not if you're a real badass, dude. Not if you're a real badass.
He's running a police-themed Uber... And he just picked him up, decided to bring him to the hospital.
You guys behave. We're in a hospital. You better behave.
Remember what I told you in the car.
I put the cuffs on you, but I think I could trust you're going to behave. You know how to be in a hospital. You know. This is a hospital.
He's doing the honor system. Hey, man. I'm going to let you have a little freedom at this hospital. Don't make me regret it.
Don't make me.
I'm regretting it.
Don't you dare make me regret it. Don't you dare.
It's amazing, though, because this opening sequence, I'll be honest, this opening sequence surprised me, because at first I was like, okay, he's a cop, there's the radio, the little girl is going to listen, he's going to do something, the cop's going to die, and the girl's going to have to listen to it, and that is going to, you know, her thirst for justice. That's mm-hmm. going to turn her into the Black Scorpion. Just, you know, like little Bruce Wayne going to the movies, and go, you know, right. Crime Alley, blah, 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 we've seen it a million times. I was stunned that the father got out of that prologue alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, it was, like, that was really surprising. Like, oh, no, oh, this isn't really her origin story at all. This is mm-hmm. just kind of, this is the dad being, we're setting up the dad, really.
Yeah.
For sure. And yeah. I should note that prior to the scene in the hospital, they're in a police chase, and the police have been chasing these two suspects. Then he comes in. He starts chasing these two suspects. This entire car chase scene takes place in the same alley, shot from different angles for 5 minutes. They keep going mm-hmm. around the same mm-hmm. corner, driving down the same alleyway, just back and forth. It's like they were trapped and they were not able to leave this alleyway and were just going around in circles.
They're listening over the police scanner, and the girl said, they're coming right by our house, because they apparently live in the warehouse district of Angel City.
Yeah. Right, right.
Well, it seems like everybody does in this movie, because Darcy's place is the entrance is the emergency exit to a warehouse building. There's no street address. There's no windows. It's just the door that no one ever uses in an office building, that's the entrance to her loft, I guess. Did I lose you? Are we still recording? Am I still on? Can you hear me?
I love that she's just, you know, she parks right in her living room like she's Robert Urich in Vegas.
Right, right. Yeah.
I know we're not at final questions, but I just have a quick question. Darcy is the combination of Marcy and Darren, or what?
Or like any male name, if you're thinking that, like there would be like David.
David and Marcy.
David and Marcy, yeah. But that's not the dad's name, right? Like he's not.
No, he's just Lieutenant Dad.
Maybe the dad. Maybe the, I thought the dad's
he's
name was
Walker.
Marcy.
His name's Walker.
Is Walker,
Stan.
Yeah.
Stan is his first name, apparently.
Stan.
I didn't catch that his name was Stan Walker.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think they ever say Stan. But the thing for me was
you went to the
like,
novelization for that?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. You gotta dig deep, Chris. You gotta dig deep sometimes.
I would read the novelization of this movie.
100%. Like, there should, honestly... I know that I think there is a comic book that came out much later, I think, but there should be probably no less than 12 novels of the Black Scorpion series.
If the novelization doesn't exist, should we write it?
I mean, we probably should. Yeah. I mean, I think it's time.
I'm obviously in. Just we're clear. Yeah. Like, I'm 100% in on
audio
this project.
Audio trademark. I'm audio trademarking the
I think
novelization.
We all have to write our own and then give it to each other to edit so that we can all... So we can come out with at least 4 solid novels in the Black Scorpion universe.
I have to say, if we're going to write 4 solid novels, we have to make sure that tonally they are exactly like this movie. Because...
Yes.
Of all the... fucking Marvel movies that you guys have made me watch.
Oh,
this one.
Whoa.
Not all of them have had fucking, just to be fair.
Ooh, yikes. This is the only one.
Which
that
is
had
maybe
it.
Why. This
is probably the only one.
Is my favorite.
Oh, well, good.
I liked it too. Just to be, for the record, I thought it was it was a lot of fun.
No, these movies
is,
rule. They're great.
This is bad and awesome all at the same time.
It's great.
But when it's bad, when it's all bad, Is it like when you eat something that's burnt and you're like, I don't know, it's fine?
No, because it's... This is also trying to... At least I hope so. This is trying to be a comedy. The police chief and his constant smoking jokes.
Oh, the smoking is amazing.
And he's always eating and stuff. Like,
I don't want to get into my favorite scene, but I was losing it as if I was hearing a joke for the first time.
I think they were clearly taking some inspiration from like the Batman series of the 1960s and stuff. And there's a lot of that. They don't quite do the bam and pow punches and stuff, but they're and have the same kind of music cues. But there's definitely a lot of inspiration from that. I mean, down to Black Scorpion herself. But before we dive into her becoming, because I do want to talk about her becoming Black Scorpion, but I just was taken by the fact that Casey Shamasko was playing this doctor, because he's like got two lines and then he's killed, and I was like, what happened to this guy? Because
I didn't see his name in the credits.
Yeah, I was like, he was just in like Of Mice and Men in 1992. Yeah. I mean, obviously he's in like
Back to the Future. He was the lead in 3 o'clock High.
Like, Young Guns. You know. Yeah. And he's around that time. He does a great movie I adore called Breaking In 1989. So he's got some good stuff. And then of course he does have a larger part, but I got to ask, even though we're not at Final Questions, does he continue on as...
Oh.
No, absolutely.
Oh, I have an answer for you.
Good.
Oh,
good.
No, because... So, there was Black Scorpion 1 in 1995. There was Black Scorpion 2 in 1997. And then the series came in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
That character of the Breathtaker returns in the series.
Oh, my God. Mm.
But played by Adam West.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Yikes. Okay. I have to watch that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I'm all in on the Black Scorpion saga. Like,
but
just
what I'm wondering is, does Casey Shamasko, does he continue to play the Breathtaker, like, with the giant helmet on? And, like, at the end, they take his helmet off, but they have all this makeup on him, and I'm like, is that the same dude? Like, it honestly could have been anyone. Like, I don't...
He was not in the Breathtaker costume, I am sure. Casey Shamasko had, like, 2 days on this. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get you in the hospital, and then we're going to put you in makeup. And that's,
maybe,
you know...
maybe he did the voice. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Joan Severance's new double also was... was breathalyzer.
She was also breathtaker.
Her body double. Double, you think?
Honestly,
I want to live with that illusion. I want to live with the illusion that there was no double. My God.
I think it is a body double. That is what I did. I wanted to get confirmation. I couldn't get confirmation on it exactly, but you know, they never show her, when they show the nude woman, they never will pan up to her head.
If I'm ever in a movie, I'm going to use that footage as my body double.
Me too.
I not only want a body double, but a striking woman. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say she's my Ben Gazzara, but you know, I mean, it's.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow. Who is? Wow. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you have a thing for Joan Severance, do you not, Chris? I mean,
I have been a Joan Severance fan ever since Love Boat: The Next Wave.
You got in early. You really
too short-lived revival of the classic Love Boat, where she played the security officer.
Uh-huh. So this
with Robert Urich was the captain. That's two Robert Urich references tonight.
Wow, that's more Urich than we've ever had on this podcast. Wow.
Yeah.
So I gotta bring the Urich.
Really searching for Urich's dongle right now.
So is he. So that makes two of you.
He might be. This is still kind of early on in Joan Severance's career, though, because I think this is basically her first real lead role, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where she's like the she had been in other movies where I do believe she had gone naked in those, and those might be truly her being naked, but this one weirdly is not.
Disappointment.
18 years later, she's now a police person herself. Her dad's a security guard, as we mentioned. But he gets shot up with a DA who, probably because he's still an asshole, but I mean, but strangely, the DA doesn't remember doing the shooting.
He aged like a fine wine, though, from when was a little girl to a full-grown adult. My goodness.
Well, Rick Rossovich is Rick Rossovich is not that much older than Joan Severance, so like they didn't do a ton to age him up, you know. Like, it's looking like, damn, I want those jeans, man. Like, you 18 years is looking good on that guy. She gets suspended and she gives up on her undercover job working the streets of Angel City during the day as an undercover streetwalker. And her prostitute friend gets beat up. So what does she do? And this is like, if we had favorite scenes, she just creates a black leather outfit out of the blue.
Yeah. And she saw Batman Returns and saw how the Catwoman, Michelle Pfeiffer, did it and said, I can do that.
I can do that. And apparently had the mask just already. Just
the mask just appears out of nowhere.
It's just there. She'd gone to New Orleans, I guess. You know,
New Orleans, my goodness. Come on. I could whip up a mask if I wanted to. Please. Nolens. Just give me a couple minutes. You know what? Ryan's not even going to recognize me. Go and hell yeah.
Whoa.
Who's joining the podcast here? I don't
Ryan,
know who this.
What's up? Got your dongle, so.
Whoa, you got my dongle?
Well, see you later.
Give it back. That's company property.
I'll show it up on the podcast.
Yeah, don't tell your wife, all right?
That's company property. Please give that back. I need that dongle or I'm going to get in trouble.
Ryan, it was me, silly goose. Can you smell the rosemary from over here? My God.
What? Oh, so she becomes Black Scorpion. I absolutely love this. She just decides to become a vigilante because she's suspended, so she needs to do something. And she just puts this costume on, and then what are her superpowers now?
Kick and punch.
She can just kick and punch.
Yeah.
And beat dudes up, which...
badass.
We didn't really know she could do, but we also didn't know she couldn't do it. She does have a scene where she's punching a bag. I mean, we know that.
Oh yeah, in her garage / living room.
We do see a little bit of her punching, regardless of her, you know, form. But there's no real indication that she could take on, like, say, a whole Red Dragon's gang.
No. But I mean, you could argue.
We don't know.
All of
sometimes you don't know you can do anything until you have to do it. Until you just are forced to do it.
Each of us on this podcast don't know that we could take on a Red Dragon gang, but we could. Maybe.
I don't think I could.
I'm very aware I could not take on a Red Dragon gang.
I could not.
Chris is out.
No.
I might take on the two female wrestlers. Mm. I could Scary Mary and Scary something else. I don't know. Because when they're fighting just in a street fight, they still go to the trouble of tagging in and out. As if there's like a referee and rules. So I think that would give me the advantage.
Yeah.
But you
it
could.
It would take me such a long time to get out of the car that I think the fight would probably be mostly over by the time I even got out. I'd be like,
you get out and you're like, oh, you guys are good?
No.
All right, I'll just
worked everything out, I guess, huh? Right.
You're like trying to use the size of the car to like these fucking boots.
Oh my God, forget it. Once I finally get those boots on, then I try to walk in those boots. Game over for me. Game over for me.
Especially as Darcy does in the on the fire escape.
Yes. And on the roof.
Yeah.
On the roof.
I'm impressed.
Why did she make... I mean, I understand they look great, but, like, she made walking so treacherous for herself as a vigilante. I mean, why did you make it so difficult? She does make her life a little easier by, I guess, again, everybody in this movie can just do magic, and she can invent, like, electronics that shoot her boots. She can jump out of a giant warehouse through the hole in the roof. I was like,
well, she jumped in sort of Batman style, like crashing through the top, and then she, you know, she needed a way out, so she just kind of pivots on up there. Her technology, it's like, what if Data from the Goonies had a limitless budget?
right
Slippery shoes and electric boots.
I my only thing is I wish he had used it more, and I realized that you only get to use, they probably only had so many visual effects.
No, you
effects
don't.
They could
if anything,
that.
We just wish there were more titty counts. Nobody gives a shit about those boots. Come on. At the end of the day, no one's here for the boots, Ryan.
But there is a titty count in this. Oh, yeah. As we there said, is. This is the... Oh,
Ryan,
uh-oh.
No one's here for the boots, okay?
Oh, who's this guy?
Lay off.
Get this guy out of here.
I'm a woman, first of all. How dare you? I'm a person, all right? I'm a superhero person,
you're
Ryan.
A superhero person.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh.
Ryan, it's me, Erica. Did you just defend a superhero? Someone stormed out of here. They were very upset. What did you say?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to do my best here, and I am just offending everybody. But there is a titty count in this, as Erica's mentioning, because she's super horny for her partner.
Who is not horny for her, which is shocking.
What?
Yes. Shocking.
Does he have it better somewhere else?
Honestly, what the fuck?
What the hell?
What has he got, Ben Gazzara on the other line?
Thank you. My goodness.
She comes on to him. They're having dinner, just friends, friendly dinner. And she, like, kisses him, and he's like, meh. I'm like,
well,
wow.
He doesn't want to get
what a
call
jack
from
wagon.
Jan from HR saying, hey.
That's right.
But they weren't partners anymore at that point.
That's right. That's
he
right.
can't escape the past. Partners. He knows what they were. And, you know, he wants to keep it, just keep it copacetic between them, you know? They
what
might work again together.
Why did
by the way,
fight for him?
Played by Reanimator's Bruce Abbott, by the way, her partner.
Yeah.
Who was doing a bunch of crazy stuff. You'd think his career would have gone a different direction, but he was in a lot of B-movies. So, but does not return. Not to spoil part two.
He doesn't. They set him up to return, but he doesn't return. You know who does return is Tender Lovin, the prostitute.
Yes.
The sex worker does return. Thankfully, she wasn't killed. But we didn't establish why they're undercover. They're trying to catch someone who's murdering prostitutes and Johns.
Yep.
And here's the thing about all of this, because eventually she goes and, you know, vigilanteizes this guy that she thinks is the killer. And I'm just going to say straight out, I think they got the wrong guy.
Yeah, I don't think it was Easy Street.
I'm not saying Easy Street's a good guy.
Right.
I'm not pro Easy Street.
No.
But
no.
I don't think, like, because, you know, he goes after Tender
Lovin'. It doesn't match him. Doesn't match
exactly
what I know Easy to be. It doesn't seem
And, you know, I mean.
I think it was that weird clown guy. It was that weird clown guy with the,
like the Joker makeup going.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He has that line across his face. What's that movie that I hate that Daryl Hannah has that same
Blade Runner
with the, like,
Blade Runner.
God, yes, he has the Blade Runner makeup on, and he, like, runs down the alleyway.
You don't have to say that movie that I hate. You can just leave that part out.
But you knew what it was right away.
The best part of Easy's death is which, because she throws him out a window that in a building that I didn't think was nearly that high, looking at it from the outside. But the best is when he's falling to his death, you hear him yell, "Ah, bitch."
Yeah.
I'm like, that's great.
We haven't even also mentioned Garrett Morris as Argyle.
Former Ant-Man Garrett Morris as Argyle.
Yes, from on SNL, the original Ant-Man. Garrett Morris, who is, you know, brings some charm to Argyle, a guy who you don't believe can create a magic car no matter what, but it would be, hard to anyone to pull that off. But I think he's great in this.
He's delightful.
And he's a great foil for Joan Severance, who, as beautiful as she is, can be a bit wooden at times in performance.
I didn't think
so. Well, she's wearing that tight outfit, Ryan. It's not very flexible.
Chris,
how is she? She can't really
I thought she was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ryan, let's see how fucking funny you are with a G-string on, all right?
Let's see it.
I know we're on our final questions, but can one of us see it? Just one of us. I'll let you determine who that one person is.
Don't pick me. Chris, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me.
When you fell in love with Joan Severance on the new Love Boat, did you go and follow her every appearance afterwards? Or
no. It took me until 2026 to get around to Black Scorpion. But I'm glad I did. It's, you know, it's, I'm gonna be watching Black Scorpion 2 tonight. You know, that's yes! the plan.
Oh my gosh. Yes. But we should talk about our supervillain. We've kind of talked about him already. Who is he? What is he? Why does he live in the Kingpin's lair?
He's lightly introduced, and he finally makes a real appearance in the movie at
it takes
58
a while.
Minutes.
Yep. Yep. He makes a real appearance, but he does make an appearance earlier, because he makes an appearance very briefly, but almost before, I think it's before Joan Severance even decides to just, you know what, I'm going to make an outfit and become a superhero in my brain. I won't say it out loud. I'm only going to think it in my thoughts. But it's before then, there's like a brief moment where he's like looking out in the city or doing something, and you're like, wait, hold on, what the hell was that?
Who's this Power Ranger villain?
Who's this guy with a garbage can in his head?
We get, and then a later shot of him where he's, I guess, getting his legion of baddies to work for him. Yeah. Then we get that he's up to some nefarious thing. This is at 58 minutes. It isn't until an hour and 10. Now, this is only an hour 30 minutes. An hour and 10 before we learn his name and what his actual plan is.
There's a lot. It's very plot heavy, very late. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what I love about this movie and how late everything goes is, you know, even though at this point in time, Corman is not making movies for the theater. Right. Even Concord New Horizons was largely making stuff for video. As we'll get to in a second, this is all made for Showtime. This is one of like 13 movies he makes for Showtime. I love that you're like, hey, we're just getting into this. And if you've seen Roger Corman produce a movie, you're like, this guy's showing up late and I know there's not much time left. Like, <it's, laughs> we're going to wrap this up soon because this is Roger Corman. He's like, let's go. We're not going to be, this isn't going to be 2 hours. That's not Roger Corman's style. It's so, in a way. I don't know if this has happened to you, to you, Mark and Erica as well. But when I'm watching like modern movies, and they're like 2.5 hours, I'm like, oh my god, because we watch so much New World stuff that I'm like, Corman would never.
No, never.
So sometimes I'm like, boy, you better earn the heck out of that 2.5 hours.
I gotta say to my wife, we gotta have dinner early, because if it's 2.5 hours, I can't start that at 8:30 at night. I'm not making it all the way. We need to start that at 7:45 tops.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'm not making it.
It's 2.5 hours. I'm going to need multiple snacks. I'm going to need a pillow to keep me upright.
Just to kind of stand up and get the blood flowing again. And, you know, when you're looking at a New World movie and you're like, 77 minutes.
Done. Yeah, I can do that on a weeknight.
Yeah. I can do that. I can do that. No problem.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My wife has never seen Heat. And I've seen it. I've seen it, but we've been meaning to watch it, and it's taken years just for the scheduling.
Yeah,
like, we got to carve. We got to start that at the right time. We can't start that. That's an afternoon. It's going to be an afternoon movie.
That's a weekend film. That's a Sunday afternoon.
Which one is that?
Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. Robert De Niro is like the thief. Yeah. He's like a Val Kilmer's in there.
It's a terrific movie. Is Michelle or who's the lady in it?
Charlize Theron. It's a big budget remake of L.A. Takedown is really what it is.
Yeah. it actually is.
I don't want anybody to tell you
indeed.
Different. I know.
Indeed.
That sounds like
there was a video store we've mentioned many times that Mark and I would go to in San Francisco called Lay Video. and they had a copy of LA Takedown. So when I'd seen, I saw Heat in the theater multiple times, and then I was like, I've got to see LA Takedown. And it is remarkable how much it is a dry run.
I have never seen a movie that is so much a rough draft of another movie.
It is such a, like, he's years later, he went, you know what, if I tried that again, but like with actors this time.
And a lot more money.
It really gave that draft, that script another draft. Really give it another go through.
That's, you know what people are going to say movie. About Steeman. That's what they're going to say about Steeman. She really just had the budget and, you know, wasn't so focused on wangs.
But it does have a lot of wangs, so if that is the thing that you're looking for.
Yeah, of course it does. That's what, give the people what they want.
I thought you were going to say that they're going to say that about steaming and be like, finally they got it right with the big budget and the big wangs of Steeman.
Well, I still need that big budget, Mark. I'm looking for an investor, benefactor.
Yep. We've got a lot of people that are lined up to show their wangs in it.
Yeah, I have a lot of verbal commitments. So,
but not a lot of people open up their wallets.
Should we start a GoFundMe for this? Do we need to get that going?
I don't know how I'm going to use this transition back to the movies. So I was just going to see if wangs was the way to go back into film.
It's the way back. I don't know.
Speaking of wangs,
what
I'm
does
sure
a verbal
that...
commitment to show your wang look like? I commit to
how
at least
legally
15
binding
seconds
is that
of wang time.
15 seconds is a long time.
It's a lot of wang time.
It's a lot of wang time.
On the big
a
screen.
A lot of wang time.
That's a lot of wang time.
Seconds. Woo!
Oh, my God.
And Mark can say use that kind of number as someone who has not verbally committed to showing
I have not
his
verbally committed.
I thought that was the verbal commitment right there.
No.
No, I was asking what it is. So
I don't understand anything of this business. My God.
You're right. Maybe I did. Maybe I'm contractually obligated now.
Now, if push comes to shove.
Yeah. No.
That's in Steeman 2.
Yeah, Steeman 2. And we're going to need a stunt wang for Mark because we're family and I want him to feel comfortable. So we need a stunt wang.
I will use a body double and I want somebody who looks decidedly not like me.
Oh,
yeah, I want Joan Severance's body double.
I'm going to get a body double that looks exactly like your body, Ryan.
Oh, good luck. Good luck. It's going to be tricky casting on that one. Oh my God!
Well,
where
I'm up for the challenge, Ryan. I'm up for it. So
where are we?
I'll do what it takes.
Let's talk about, I guess, the finale, the ending of this film. The fight against Breathtaker, which is not. I mean, they, as Marcus
very
mentioned,
short.
They don't have a lot of money to really create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm sure there might have been that in the script. One thing that Corman did always with those writers, it would just say, just write the movie that you want that you see. And then we'll worry about the budget later, which is always, I thought, interesting considering, you know, you're going to get a script then that you know you're going to have to cut back on because Corman will not give you enough money to do this stuff. Or, in this case, Showtime, because I think this has a budget. I've heard the budget being $1.5 million, and I think that was like the budget of all these movies for Showtime.
Mm. Not combined, just individually.
Individually.
Okay.
But I still, with Corman, I always feel like he always speaks about them having more money or having a bigger budget than they really do.
Right.
And just, I guess, to entice people to think, okay, he's going to spend some money. Cool. But but they don't have a lot of money to have like a big finale. And so therefore we don't really get a big, massive finale with her and Breathtaker. That said, we don't know who Breathtaker is yet. We don't really know what he does. We don't even know. Honestly, I watched it another time and I was like, oh, that's his plan. I didn't know the first time through. I was like, what is he gonna do exactly?
Honestly, the first time through, I thought his plan was to sell gas masks. I'm gonna poison the air so everybody
needs to
buy gas masks from me.
I thought that was going to be a trick. Like, the gas masks were going to be the thing that, like, gassed everybody. That was his method, right? Which I think is. Mm-hmm. Is that his method?
Yeah, because he's got the people using the inhalers that wipes their memory. That's why But yeah. it's inconsistent because some of the people have like no idea what they've done. Like the guy, the DA who goes in and shoots the father in the bar, which was admittedly shocking. He had no idea. He clearly had no idea. Where other ones are like, oh yeah, I'm fully aware that I'm robbing this bank or whatever, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how this thing works. I don't know how it works.
It's a little bit, I don't know if it's disappointing because it's so ridiculous. The only thing I would say is that, again, going back to my point, once he opens the mask up, I'm like, we know it's the same doctor because, of course, Garrett Morris has that figured out.
Yeah.
Based on nothing.
Honestly, he's the only competent person in the city.
He is.
In the entire city.
He should be a police person. He is the smartest person 100%. In the entire film.
Agreed.
He should be the mayor of Angel City.
Yes.
Like, rather than the actual mayor who's getting a handy in the car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the mayor is up to no good in the sequel, but we're not talking about the sequel.
We will not talk about the sequel.
Oh. I will not say another word about the sequel.
Oh, when you guys do the whole series, you got to bring me back for the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Of course.
22 episodes, we'll just do it all, knock it all out. We'll do two, three episodes an episode.
Let's do it.
Well, let's chat. So, we won't go long. We'll just go ahead, Mark.
Breathalyzer traps Black Widow. Breath mints captures Black Widow in what is like a plexiglass, like a hockey rink for one. It's just a plexiglass rink.
And she, for some reason,
can't get out. So she realizes that her ring actually has laser capabilities.
She used it
there's
once.
There's smoke coming in, but the smoke is coming from the bottom. But she leans down into the smoke to cut herself out, thus inhaling more of the smoke. She finally cuts herself out, passes out on the ground. The police guy
Russo
comes in. By the time he comes in, the building is full of more smoke than her one person hockey rink ever had in it. But he's completely unaffected by it, and comes to help her, and then he's going to arrest her. Because he finds out that she is actually a cop and she's a bitch. But he's going to arrest her right then. He's not going to think about, wait, bigger picture here. Maybe we've got other things we should figure out. He's a terrible cop, is what I'm going at.
Terrible. No, everybody is terrible at their jobs. That's it's like absolutely, absolutely terrible. And then he does like, oh, now we can go. We'll go fight the breathalyzer first. And then
Exactly.
Yeah.
It'll never be the same.
She even says it, right? She says she'll turn herself in, and then, but they got to take down Breathtaker first. But like, so he kind of says, "All right, we'll do that together."
Yeah.
They
can never go back, though. They can never go back to what they once were,
unless
he just forgets.
Yeah.
And he does. He does not remember any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Their love, the lovemaking he did to her for a moment, and then a body double the next.
You know what's going to be fucked up is that because when she was on top of him, she had she's got the scorpion ring. She juiced him with the scorpion ring. Thank God that guy didn't have a pacemaker, first of all. But like she branded him. He's got a scorpion brand on him, and he's going to have no idea where it came from.
Yeah, he's going to be like, dude, I don't know.
He's going to have to explain that to his next wife.
College, I guess. I don't know. I must have been. Yeah. That was...
Spring break in
Florida, and I don't know, man. I must have gotten wasted one night and thought that'd be cool.
See, I can't even remember. I thought, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird that it's just scabbing up right now. That doesn't really track with the timeline of my spring break 1985, but
I guess things recent. I don't have any pictures with this on me. And I take a lot of pictures, shirtless photos of myself.
It might also be infected. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why do I have a tube of Neosporin in my pocket? That seems odd.
Just Right. I'm just saying it hurts all the time and it's itchy in my. It's.
I got like I a little a post-it. A post-it yeah. says apply to your scorpion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Burn twice daily. I'm like,
no, it just said apply to your scorpion, which leaves it open right. to.
Interpretation. I was like, does that work? Does that work? Does that work? How much Neosporin do I need for that to work?
But yeah, yeah, his memory gets wiped, and so I guess everything's fine, you know? And that's but he's not back for the sequel.
I know.
And it after all that, he's not back for the sequel.
He's not back for the sequel.
But his whole premise prior to getting his memory wiped is that they cannot be together, even though she's no longer a cop and she's saying, but why can't we start over? And his whole premise is, you lied to me, and yeah. I'll never get over that.
Yeah.
So she roofies him
yep.
and lies to him again. So yep. maybe yep. he is right.
Onto something?
He should not be with her. That is a toxic relationship.
Well, honestly, you know, it's worth the risk.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. worth the risk.
He's not doing better than that. So
in that everyone in this movie is terrible, I don't feel like somebody deciding to pull, like, hey, I have a moral code towards the end of this film. All of a sudden, I don't know if that particularly makes him, like, you know what? He's a good dude. Like, I mean, yeah. Literally nobody in this movie, with the exception of Garrett Morris, is truly yeah. the only person.
There's not enough superheroes who use their power for their own sexual pleasure the way Black Scorpion does.
Yes. Yeah.
yeah.
True. Like, very true.
Not enough. Yeah. Not enough of
not
them
enough.
Do.
Enough. I mean, that's...
If somebody did have superpowers, not, doesn't apply to this movie. She does not have superpowers at all.
Well, you know.
She has a supercar, no. but that
she
doesn't
She has a supercar and a super ring.
Yeah.
That's probably what somebody would use it for, right?
Yeah. I think if there were real superheroes, most of them would. They'd be like,
right.
But you know
right.
what this, how this, you know how this works to my advantage every time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is hooking
no,
up.
We're not talking about the boys though. So well, let's talk about some background of this because this was part of a 13 movie deal. Corman made with Showtime. He told the LA Times in July 8th, 1995. He said, they approached me last fall with the idea of doing a series of feature films in the style of some of the things I'd done before, particularly science fiction and horror. We worked out the arrangements and started shooting in January. We finished shooting on 13 pictures in mid-June, which Jesus. Is something of a record.
Wow.
So,
yeah. Wow.
That's stunning.
So, yes, that is shooting several movies at once. So he continues, I don't think a day went by that we weren't shooting. We were shooting on weekends. We were shooting at our studio here. We were shooting at local locations. And we shot one film in Moscow and one film in Manila. So we were all over the world with this thing.
Shot one film in Moscow? Wow.
That's
my yeah. goodness. What was that? That is crazy.
All over the place. And they wow. start airing in July of 1995. Let's quickly just go through the 13 films. In 6 months, they release all these, starting in the very first one, and they're releasing them on, like, Tuesday nights.
Yeah, it's movie night at... it's because it's 90 minutes. You can do it. You can do it mm-hmm. on a weeknight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right. 9:30 p.m. though, so that's stretching.
Oh, that's too late. Ooh. No,
that's stretching.
Wait, hold
Take
on.
Take it all back. Eastern, forget it.
I'm or... setting We're the VCR. We're setting out. The VCR for that one.
No plot, but this first one is called Suspect Device.
Oh, could mean anything.
Could be anything.
Could be anything.
It stars C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. Soul Man
from Side Out.
Yeah. Yep. Everyone's favorite volleyball movie.
It absolutely is.
There's not many other volleyball movies.
I got, honestly though, it's funny you should mention C. Thomas Howell because I got to catch up with him because I have a laser disc of Side Out signed for me by Peter Horton and I got to get C. Thomas Howell to sign it too.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter Horton, Children of the Corn.
I've been letting that sit for 20 years.
Side Out. Much better than it deserves to be. I was just saying.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, yeah. The next movie, July 18th, The Alien Within.
Could mean anything.
Starring Roddy McDowall.
Oh.
And Alex Hyde White, who had played Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four. This one sounds enticing by title alone. Sawbones.
Oh, it could mean anything.
Starring Nina Samoshko.
Oh.
Adam Baldwin and Barbara Carrera.
Oh, wow.
Virtual Seduction on August 1st, starring Jeff Fahey. Bram Stoker's...
Well,
that's
clearly a Lawnmower Man, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Offshoot.
Gotta be.
Yeah, gotta be. Virtual. Yeah.
Bram Stoker's Burial of the Rats with Adrian Barbeau on August 8th. Of course, then The Black Scorpion is on August 15th. Following that, Not Like Us, starring Joanna Pacula and Paul Bartel. Don't know what that one is. Not of This
that
Earth
could mean
is, anything. Is a remake. That is directed by Terry Winkless. Dark Secret, September 12th. Anthony Michael Hall, Justine Ooh. Bateman, and Shadow Stevens.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That is a trio right there.
Yeah.
Are we already doing a ranking episode of these movies? Because that's my number one.
Yeah, you're doing right all there. Of these on the show, right?
We
you're
going to
cover all
point.
Of these.
Yeah. We have to rank Roger Corman Presents. They do the first remake of Piranha, starring William Catt from House and Alexander Paul. Last Chance, September 26th, James Brolin and Brian James. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unreal. And then lastly, ends in October, Hellfire with Jennifer
Burns.
That could
mean anything.
Could be anything. They could be anything. Any of these movies, they could be
anything.
Could
be anything. Except for Piranha. You know what that is.
You know what Piranha is. Not of This Earth is fairly... kind of know what that is.
Now I got to remake a Piranha that's not about piranhas.
Any final thoughts on Black Scorpion?
Black Scorpion... Here's the deal with Black Scorpion. It is like Batman for Skinemax. That's really what we're talking about here.
Of course.
And you know, I know it was for Showtime, but that's the vibe is Batman for Skinemax. And I'll be honest, I am 100% here for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all are. Everybody should be.
It's truthfully, I'm not even sure you really needed the nudity. I mean, I enjoyed it for sure, but
what?
Like that in because at the core of this, there is something at the core of Black Scorpion that is pure 90s syndicated television series. And I know they did a series later, but I feel it only ran one season. I feel it might have been a little too late. Like this, there's a version of this that would slot between Highlander the series and Forever Night and run for like 8 seasons.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a great call.
It would be on Tubi right now.
Tubi.
Yeah. Which is Forever Night on Tubi? It might be, right?
I would think.
That's the matchup right there. That's the drive-in matchup, Forever Night and Black Scorpion.
Well, for sure.
Then you hook everybody. Then you're bringing everybody in.
Everybody's coming in on that.
Nick Knight is the midnight showing. If you stay for all three, Nick Knight is the midnight show in that drive-in.
Honestly, if you said there was a midnight showing of Nick Knight at the New Beverly, I'm like, I'm there.
Oh, man, let's do it. Let's put it out
there. I mean,
there
I got a nap during the day because, you know, I can't.
Yeah, oh, same.
God. I can't.
And then we got to have coffee before.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing.
And during. I got to make it. Yeah. I'm going to make it through this thing.
Before we go, I do want to point out, because I watched all the way through to the end credits, and I saw a couple things that were fascinating. Because I mentioned at the top, there is a place called the Donkey Bar in the episode, in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a credit for someone who was a donkey wrangler. That is in the credits, and I did not see any actual donkeys in that movie. So I'm wondering what's on the cutting room floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm also going to point out that is another credit that was in this movie for a surfing expert.
Interesting.
Who? I want to know what is the Black Scorpion we didn't see?
Yes.
Where they needed
for
a donkey wrangler and a surfing expert.
Yeah.
Did she surf on the car at any point and we just didn't get to see it?
Mm-hmm. Like Teen Wolf style?
Like Teen Wolf style, for sure.
Was it her or was it somebody else? Was it her dad? Like, when she was, like, whenever she would drop her off at school, then he would just go serve.
He definitely never took her to school. That was on
her. Oh, he never took her to school.
No. It was on her to get to school.
She had to go to the bus stop in the warehouse district where they lived.
Yeah, that was 100% her responsibility. Yeah. Getting to school.
I mean, I will say he really rocked that turtleneck. That was,
oh my God.
That's how you knew it was the 70s.
But as we went over, Angel City is nothing but a warehouse district. That's what Angel City is. It's all warehouse district. Warehouse.
You have to go Everyone to the sister lives. City, New Jack City, if you want to see shows or, like, you know, whatever. Yeah,
that's where
it's like if
is.
The city of industry were the size of the whole San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
That's Angel City.
That's Angel City. Chris, thank you for joining us for this.
Thank you so much for joining us
for Black Scorpion.
Always a delight. I hope you have me back for Black Scorpion 2.
Of course. Of course.
Which I will go watch right now.
And the series.
And the series.
Go through the 22-episode series where we discuss each episode of Black Scorpion. Thank you so much for being here. It is always a pleasure to have you on. And it's a pleasure to listen to your podcast. Please tell everybody about what's going on with Get Me Another.
Get Me Another. I host a podcast called Get Me Another, and what we do in each series, we examine a blockbuster film, what made it work, and the impact that it had, and then we explore the films that came in its wake and in one way or another tried to replicate its success. We've been doing some bonus episodes lately. Ryan, you were on our Friday the 13th, A New Beginning bonus episode. We also did Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives.
Yeah.
The 1978 Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We've done Grizzly 2, Revenge. And this June, we will be doing a 40th anniversary tribute to one of our favorite movies, Big Trouble in Little China. We're very excited for that.
Ooh,
yeah.
And then we will be starting our next series this summer, which I can tell you, because I know this doesn't go out until May, I can tell you is Get Me Another E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Wow, interesting.
And we are so excited.
Mm. Wow.
Great ride at Universal Orlando.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, you can find a Get Me Another pod on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and, you know, wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can listen to it.
Yes. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoy all of the episodes that we have planned for Mark's Miserable Marvelous May 4 ever, where we talk about more marvelous films. And we probably hit the one that Mark will like here with Black Scorpion. But if you want to listen to all our episodes, go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes. You can find our t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt. It helps support the show. Also, if you want to write us a 5-star review, that also helps people know. But just live on newworldpicturespodcast.com, where you can read articles, listen to all of our episodes, do all things NWPP, and we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody!
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network, please select the link in the description